That's right. We are back once again. The Parish of the Patriots, episode number 199. We're here. We're on the cusp of that number 200 show. So our next show will finally break 200. Don't expect much. It's not really going to be anything special. You know, I don't have anything special planned for the 200th show. But it is kind of a mile marker. It's a marker in my mind, you know. It is. It's like a landmark in my mind. Kind of means something to me. Hopefully it means something to you as well. I don't know when we're going to get that show in. I mean, it's going to be the next show. But, you know, I generally record these shows on the weekend. And, of course, this coming up weekend, we got Christmas, and there's going to be a whole lot going on. So you may not get a show next week. It may be the following week before we hit episode 200. Just kind of depends on how everything shakes out. But I give you a warning in advance because, you know, I mean, I got a life, too. I love all y'all. You know, you're part of my life, you know. But I got a life, too. And in the middle of Christmas on the weekend, it's just going to be virtually impossible to get a show in. Or, you know, if I do it way before, then, you know, what if, you know, I don't know, nuclear bombs go off somewhere. I won't be talking about it because I recorded too early and I can't do it afterwards because we won't have time to get everything ready and get the show up properly. So probably won't be a show next week. So just don't be shocked when that comes about. But anyway, yes, we are closing in on 200 and whatever's brought you here, whether you're a longtime member of the congregation or just a new participant, I am glad you're here. We're going to have a great discussion. If you are new around these parts, we do have a Christian specific segment that is roughly about the halfway point of the show, the first half of the show. I try not to preach too much. You know, sometimes I lapse in, but that's okay. I don't apologize for it. But either way, whether it's the Christian specific segment or the first part of the show, we do have fun. It is a fun discussion. As always, we pass the offering plate around up at the first part of the show. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. I do appreciate it. It means a whole lot to me. And if you do get something out of it, I ask that you throw something in the plate. And I realize that y'all will listen to a lot of different shows, probably. Some of you may, some of you may not. And, you know, everybody needs money. And that's understandable. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say I deserve it more than these other guys because, you know, I don't think that much of myself. But if you do get something out of the show, throw something in the plate. I've made it as simple as possible. If you go to the bottom of the description page here on Radio Albion for the show, you see we got snail mail. Doesn't get any easier now. Once you got snail mail, you got no excuse. Got Bitcoin address there. Got a Monero address there. Got the email. Drop your notes. If you've got something, I don't know, whatever junk coins you got, cryptocurrency, drop me an email with that. I pretty much guarantee I can get you an address for that. And I'm not proud. I'll take your whatever. I don't know. Because I see some of these, there's like 6 quadrillion of these junk coins, you know, and I don't even know what they are. What is it? The sushi coin. What is that? Is it like the raw fish coin? Is it like if you buy sushi, you smell it and it stinks? I don't know. Oh, no, I'm not prideful. I'll take what. I will take whatever. So, and it is very much appreciated. So let's do it. Let's get into the listener supporter mailbag. One of my favorite things because it's kind of oftentimes it's a low effort on my part because y'all give me ideas of things to talk about. I want to sit around and think about things to discuss. GPT Doe for the show. That's from Mr. T. Appreciate it. And hope you and yours have a Merry Christmas, Mr. T. As well as all of you. You know, we are coming up on Christmas. Usually I do have my anti-Santa rant right about this time. Right about this time. You know, I'm old and crotchety. And it's like I don't like Santa Claus. Which isn't true. Yeah, like if you got little kids, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, yeah, there's nothing wrong with all that, you know, doing all that. Of course, what I talk about that I hate with the Santa Claus thing is this commercialization. The commercialization of Christmas. Look, whether you're a Christian believer or not is irrelevant. You know, it's a Christian holiday. You know, I'm going to break it to you. That all this happy holidays bullshit. No, it's a Christian holiday. It's a Merry Christmas. It's a Christmas holiday. And I say you ain't got to be a Christian believer. That's just what it is. That's the truth. You know, Ramadan is an Islamic holiday. You know, it's not time to go to Walmart and buy the latest huge TV that you don't really need. It's an Islamic holiday. You know, the whole menorah lighting thing that the Jews do, that's their holiday. Where they LARP like they're ancient Israelites or whatever it is that they're doing with that. I don't know. I don't care. But the thing is, it's their holiday. Christmas is a Christian holiday. It is what it is. And like I say, there's nothing wrong. Look, I ain't saying you're going to be one of them people that don't let their kids celebrate Christmas as Santa Claus because that's not godly enough. I ain't saying that. By a long shot. I just hate the commercialization of it. Every year I get so disgusted. Every year, like in October, sometimes September, they're breaking Santa Claus out. And it's always the same message. Spend a bunch of damn money you ain't got. You know, and people got less money this year than ever. And people go out. They just running up their credit cards because they got to keep up with everybody else. They don't want to look like they ain't got nothing. So they run it up, buy more crap that they don't need. Stuff that they just really, they don't need. I hate it. Hate it. It makes people that don't have a lot, like for kids, you know, they say, well, Christmas is all about the kids. Well, that's good. It's true. It's not all about the kids. It's actually about Christ. But I understand as far as the celebration stuff, it's an exciting time for kids. And again, I don't see anything wrong with, you know, kids being excited. But what about the kids ain't going to get much, if anything, because they poor? You know, what about them? You know, not really exciting for them. I just don't like the commercialization of it. I'm not going to get off on that too much this year. You know, people are tired of hearing it. It's just, I do. It's Santa Claus. Go buy crap you don't need. It's a religious holiday. It's a religious holiday, and it's a time we have fun with family, and you give gifts to your kids, and the kids are excited when they're little, and they think Santa come and bring them something, and you Santa all along. And, yeah, that's all good times. That's all. Man, I just saw something. If there were little kids listening in, I spoiled the whole Santa Claus thing for them. Should have put a spoiler tag over that. I don't know. I just... Like I say, it's like everybody. I hate the commercialization of it. Isn't it funny? It's just a Christian holiday. You notice it's always the Christian holiday. When it comes to religious holidays getting subverted, it's always the Christian ones. Christmas becomes Santa Claus and commercialism. Easter becomes the bunny and the eggs. And again, I'm saying on Easter, you can't let your kids enjoy that stuff. But it ain't what it's all about. But it's only the Christian holidays. Not the Islamic holidays, and damn sure not the Jewish holidays. It's always the Christian holidays. Anyway, nobody wants to hear the rant. Dear GPD, it has been a long time since I last paid my tithes. In fact, you may have gone by a shadier name the last time I did. I have drifted in and out of listening to Radio Albion in that time. Anyway, I do enjoy your show and find the preaching thought-provoking despite not being a Christian believer. I also enjoy your Friday shows with Sven. Best wishes, and that is from James. Well, that's what I say. You know, I always say at the very beginning, you know, even if you're not a Christian believer, you know, stick around. Because I've had, this is not the first one. I've had non-believers write me on a regular basis and say, you know, I don't necessarily that Christian stuff, but I do enjoy the Christian-specific segment. So if you are new, you know, tune into it. You might get something out. Give it a shot. Give it a try. You might get something out of it. But, I'm glad you're enjoying the shows and do appreciate the... do appreciate dropping something in the plate. And we do. We try to have, you know, fun here. I like the show to be fun. We're on the 199th episode. And this show was finally what I imagined I wanted it to be. You know, I remember early on. And it's like I knew what the show I wanted it to be. And it was hard. You know, and it's like getting from there to getting it to shape up and look at it. And now it is. And we do. I want the show to be fun. I always want the show to be fun. But I also want it to be thought-provoking. I don't want just to be empty filler, you know. I want it to be fun, but I want it to be thought-provoking. I want people to come away afterwards and be like, I never thought of it quite like that before, you know. And perhaps uplifting. Perhaps, you know, you get done listening to the show and it's like, you know what? I feel better about life than what I did an hour ago before I started. Maybe, if nothing else, at least have a good time. Grandpa Dan, I hope this finds you well. I look forward to your shows every week. Merry Christmas. That's from Debbie. Merry Christmas to you and y'all. And again, I'm glad because I look forward to doing the shows every week. I really do. I settle in. Sometimes I sit here and I'm getting ready to start. And it's just almost like you're just like, you remember when you were a kid and like, you know, that pool water. Okay. Not even kid. I'm getting old now and I'm still the same way, but you're going to jump in the swimming pool, but that water's cold, you know, and you stand there and it's like that anticipation, you know, and then you jump and there's that just split second before you hit that cold water. It's like that. Get ready to record the shows. And it's like I'm anticipating. I'm looking forward to it. But at the same time, it's like, here we go. And finally, this from Tony. God bless you, Dan. I've been hearing on other podcasts people calling in and complaining that people need to quit waiting on God and do something. I think that some of these people are trying to destroy the faith of the remnant in these hard times. Psalms 25, 21, and 22, let integrity and upright preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his trouble. These people are trying to get people to jump the starting gun to get them thrown in jail or killed. We are powerless until God decides we've had enough. We're under punishment. We are told to resist evil and keep our lives as clean as possible. We're not going to wake up the masses like so many call-ins want to do in other podcasts. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned and believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I still try to reach people, but I know that most will not listen or care. When I sit in the break room at work, there's no conversations. Everyone's just glued to their cell phones. Not only this, but most corporations are piping in liberal news through the TV sets hanging in the break areas. And again, that's from Tony. And I'm going to spend a little time on this one. And at first, I was almost going to stick this in the Christian specific segment, but I thought, no, it's good for a general discussion. You know, and all I can say after all of that, Tony, is amen. You know, I mean, I want to go back and kind of hit some of this, because he's kind of hitting on quite a few things here. And of course, the very first thing, people calling in or people writing whatever, complaining that people need to quit waiting on God and do something. You just get this back on the day when I was on social media, you know, you get these people. And I get these sometimes, you know, you get an email once in a while sometimes. But when you see it on social media a lot. And you have these people, and they'll be posting up, and they'll be like, you know, y'all just, you know, it's always, y'all need to do something. How come y'all aren't doing anything? They never tell you what it is you're supposed to be doing. You ever notice that? Those people never tell you. People you see here calling in, and somebody, y'all, your people need to quit waiting on God, and they need to do something. Do something. Just, no, faggot, tell us what it is we're supposed to do. Why don't you just go on and say it? Because we know what they're implying, and you hit on it here in a minute, or in a little bit further down, and you know, they're looking for people to do something, to get thrown in jail or killed or whatever. Do something. Do something. I remember I see that was all the time when I was on social media, and it's amazing, because first thing that always struck me is, if they really believe that, how come they're not the ones doing something?
Well, my part of doing something is encouraging you to do something.
Oh, okay. Y'all are a bunch of cowards. You're not doing something. What are you doing? Calling y'all cowards. They don't want to, I don't know. You know, and you have to understand, I do believe that a certain amount of that is Fed posting. I there's no way to prove that. I don't know. You know, not all of it. I'm sure not saying all of that is. But you have to believe that a certain amount of it is. But then the first things that always struck me with that is, well, if you truly believe that, why are you telling everybody else? Why don't you? You know, it's like, well, you go ahead. I'm going to stay back here. Call you names if you don't do what I think you should do. You run into that doing podcasts. If you ever wondered what's it like being near 200 shows? You know, that's just the parish of the Patriots. So being at 200 shows, coming up on 200 shows, what's that like? You learn a lot of things. It's not easy. It's not easy, you know, because you do shows. Like, if you've never done a podcast, you think, I'd like to do a show. I'd like to do a show. I got a lot I'm thinking about. And it is. You do these shows, and what you find out is, like, after the first couple of shows, you said everything you were going to say, and you're just repeating yourself. It's hard. It's hard to be fresh. But one of the things you'll learn if you do this long enough is, like, that old adage. For, I think it's, you know, people apply it, talk radio. It applies to anything, though. You can apply this to your daily life. Is that people don't want to hear your opinions. You know, generally speaking. Y'all do. I love y'all. Y'all listen to the show. You'd like to hear me ramble on. You wonder, what's that goofy guy going to say this week? But no, people don't want to hear your opinions. They want to hear their opinions coming out of your mouth. Now, that is the honest to goodness truth. I don't, if I had a dollar in the offering plate for every time somebody sent me a message saying something along the lines of, you know, why don't you say this or that? You need to talk about this or that. You need to do this or that. And it's like, why don't you just go do it yourself? This is my show. It's not yours. And we say, you know, like I say, you guys, you know, we're a congregation. We're all part of the show. I do consider y'all part of the show. But I'm talking about these people that are always saying, why don't you do this? And you need to be doing this. And you need to be saying this. And you need to be talking about this. And you. Go do it yourself. Get your own damn show. You don't sit there and tell me a bullet point list of what the hell I should be talking about. They want to hear their opinions coming out of your mouth. That way they can sit around, pat themselves on the back and say, see, I'm right all along. That's not what we do here. We come here. I come here to have my idea. We all get together here. I'll spit it out in a minute. We all get together at the congregation to look at our ideas, kick them around, to have our ideas challenged, to see if, you know, maybe we're not 100% right on everything. You know, maybe we need to adjust our views a little bit because maybe we didn't have it exactly. We were close to everything being truth, you know, to the truth, but we didn't have everything lined up. As you get more information, you got to be able to adjust and line it up. That's the idea. People that are hung up, they just want to hear their opinions coming out of your mouth. They're convinced that they're right about everything. And so if they're not hearing what they think coming out of your mouth, then you just, then you must be wrong because there's no way they could be wrong about anything. I probably let out the biggest amen on your note here with this idea of we're not going to wake people up. Now, this isn't going to get a lot of, you know, a lot of people might disagree with that, and that's fine. I ain't got a problem with people disagreeing with me. You know, I ain't going to sit here and say I'm always right, but I'm going to tell you for me personally, yeah, I do this because I love the truth. I feel called to speak the truth. I the more clown world lies are shoved in my face, the more I hate them. The more I hate the lies and the more I love the truth. That's why I do this. You know, I hate people drowning in the truth and being led off to destruction with the lies. I hate that. But I don't have any illusions of waking people up. You hit the nail on the head with this. I don't do this to quote unquote wake people. And again, some people would argue with this and say, well, of course, that's why we're doing this. And that's fine. But I'm just talking about for me personally. I do this for the truth. Plain and simple. We're living in a society now to where you are demanded to bow down and go along with the lies. And I just refuse to do it. I hate it. I do this for the truth. I don't do this because I think people are going to quote unquote wake up. It is so in your face right now. That if people haven't woke up at this point, you know, they're just mindfully not, or they're just too stupid to grasp it. It's one or the other. They're either too stupid to wrap their minds around it, or they do on some level understand the truth and they just reject it anyway. They're just going to go along. They wake them up. They wake them up. Yes. No, I agree. Yeah, I've given up on waking people up. I've given up on it. They're gonna, you know, people are gonna. If somebody comes along late in the game and says, "You know what, you were right," no, that's all great. That's all well and good. I think that's your goal. You're gonna be very, very disappointed. A lot of what we see going on, here. And understand, it's the consequences. There's nothing in the Bible that says, you know, there are going to be consequences. And I said this, you know, I said this last week. We talked about this last week on last week's show. You know, what we see, this level of clown world that we're enveloped in right now, you know, this didn't just spring up. You know, you got people that now all of a sudden they've quote unquote woke up. They're looking around. They're like, oh my gosh, what do you think we need to do? What do you think the causes of this is? And they can't go beyond if we can vote Biden out of the White House, everything will go back to normal. Because they don't understand. And again, I'm not going to do a repeat. Listen to last week's show because we went into pretty much detail on talking about going back. You know, the seeds of all this have been sown, for instance, in the U.S. since really the beginning, the founding of the country. The seeds of it were sown then. Our ancestors and those coming up have made different decisions. And a lot of what we're seeing right now, we are reaping the rewards of that. This is the consequence. This is the consequence. Every criminal that gets arrested, they say, I'm sorry. They go before, well, not everyone, but you know what I mean? You see them and they stand up in front of, they get convicted and they stand in front of, they're fixing to go to prison for however many years. And they all stand up there and they look at the jury and they look at the judge and the victim's family. And they say, I just want to say, I'm sorry. They ain't sorry. They're sorry they're going to prison. Everybody's looking around at our crumbling society, and they're sorry that we're in clown world. But as a people, we ain't sorry what we did to get here. That's why you still got people running around claiming to be Christians going, God bless America. God is not blessing America. America is scheduled for damnation. That's spelled out in the Bible. That God bless America. What they mean is, God, please don't take away my prosperity as I see it. God, please, I don't want to lose my job. God, please, I've got a pretty good thing going and I got a pretty good income. God, please don't take that away. They don't give a shit how degenerate. They don't care how many little kids they teach transgenderism to. They don't care. When it comes to, they make voice about it. But at the end of the day, they're not going to rock the boat. Because they don't want to lose their job. They don't want their prosperity to be threatened in any way, shape, or form. They don't want to make any waves. They don't want to go to prison. They don't want the consequences. It sucks because a lot of this that we're seeing now is the result of decisions that were made over the entire history of this country. And we're the ones stuck with the bill. You know, the assholes that set up the Federal Reserve are long dead. They ain't paying the price, but we're getting the inflation. We're going to get the super inflation now. You know, it is what it is. We can't go back and change that. You know, people say, oh, y'all just sitting around over. Look, some of this is just the fact that, you know, you're not going to change. There's nothing you can do. I want to say that correctly because people are not, they're going to misunderstand that. If you think by doing, you're going to do something and stop, for instance, this economic collapse, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to stop the social degeneracy? What do you got? What ideas do you got? People that mock the idea of, you know, you're trying to get closer to God and act like that's doing so. No, that's all we can do. You have control over yourself. We have control over what other people decide to do. I can sit here and make suggestions. I do. I sit here every week in our Christian specific segment and try to help, try to have discussions with fellow believers and maybe even some of you unbelievers. Maybe some of this is soaking into y'all. That's y'all's deal. But I focus on the believers and we try to strengthen ourselves up and strengthen our resolve and strengthen our faith and our moral character, because that's all we can do. These teachers, you see them on the libs of TikTok videos, and you got these teachers, and they're so proud because they're talking about, you know, I got these books that teach my fourth graders how to give a blowjob to a grown man. I don't have any way of changing the way that person thinks. I do not, and that will just lead you to frustration. I don't have control over that person. I don't have control over that person. I have control over myself. That's one of the most humbling things you can come to realize in your life. You have control over yourself. You don't have control over other people. You sit there, you need to do something. What do you want to do? Go make these people behave. How are you going to do that? How do you propose doing that? We're facing the societal consequences of decisions that were made by people, not just now. Yes, you got people now making decisions that are making everything worse. This is true. You know? But we're also realizing we're facing the consequences of decisions from people that were long dead. Long dead. Again, get into that a little more. Just if you missed last week's show, we kind of got into that. A lot of this is the end result. Now we don't want it. We're just like the guy standing up there being like, I'm really sorry. No, you're just sorry you're going to prison. Now, sorry that you, you know, robbed the convenience store. You're sorry you got caught. You know, you're sorry you got caught, but That's really, if you had it to do again. People aren't sorry they live in clown world. They're sorry that it's gotten this bad. They just want to keep their little piece of the pie. Most of those people, even people like, you know, and again, I'm talking about, you know, the average person that might sit here and whine and complain that they hate clown world. You know, this is ridiculous, this clown world, and you got all of this. And they might tell you all the things that they hate. You know, and then it lines up with all these things that you don't like about the world, you know, that we're living in this collapsing society. If you could, like, force people to 100% tell the truth, you know, like they couldn't lie because they'll lie to you. You know this? I almost told an off-color joke because there's three things a man will lie to you about. But anyway, and two of those ain't even what y'all thinking. I'm gonna leave y'all cliffhanger because I ain't gonna tell the joke. If you can make people tell you the truth, and you know, they sit there and you listen to somebody that maybe, you know, their idea of, you know, cutting edge, you know, alternative media is listening to AM talk radio. I listen to Mark Levin on talk radio. That's edgy stuff. If you ask them when they got done telling you all the stuff that they're against, and you said, okay, if you had the power, you could make all of that go away. You could stop all of that. You could stop all of this teaching fourth graders to be homosexual, all of it. You could put an end to it today. And the price is you lose everything you've got, your house, all the money in your bank account, everything. You're wiped out. You starting off from zero, no money. Just money. I ain't talking about you losing your family or nothing. I'm not saying that. But you lose every penny you've got in your bank account. And if you forced people to be 100% honest, how many of those people, they'll sit there and go on and on about how they don't like that. How many of those people do you think would say, yes, they would? They would drop that dime. They'd make that sacrifice for the society as a whole, for other people as a whole. They wouldn't. They just don't want the consequences. That's all. They don't mind clown world. They just don't want clown world to be this bad because they think that on some level or another, you know, they're benefiting from it. You know, they there's a certain amount of it they like. It's kind of like when you read in the Old Testament, and I'm not preaching early, but if you read in the Old Testament about all of the different cycles the ancient Israel went through. And it's like you would see these things, and it's like God would get enough, and they'd get in trouble, and you know, they'd cry out to the Lord and be like, yes, Lord, and they would go tear some of the altars to false gods down. But you see, they'd leave some of those up. So that's how people are. They want to give up everything. They just want to give up stuff they don't like. It's not so much that they don't like clown world. They don't like clown world being this bad. You see people and then say, I want to get back to the way this country was originally set up. Good. We're not going to let women vote. Well, now that's a bit much. What do you mean you're not going to let women vote? We got to allow women to vote. I want to get back to a traditional morality. Yes. Yes. Really? Women have no reason to be in school past the eighth grade. Well, what? I want my granddaughters to go to college. What do you think they're going to do there? Traditional morality? See, people don't want to give it up. They don't really want to give up clown world. They just want the over the tops. They want the other stuff to tamp down a little bit. But if it means it's going to cost them some prosperity, you can forget it. You can forget it. We work on ourselves. We're going to say this thing. And at the end of the day, you know, this whole, and yes, I mean, I'm still kind of going from this note here. At the end of the day, it's like the old saying goes, you know, if your enemy is in the middle of making a huge mistake, whatever you do, don't interrupt them. Let them. Look at this entire societal order. It's coming apart. People, y'all need to do something. What do you mean? Do what? The society, what are you going to do that's going to make the societal order collapse? It's collapsing now. I mean, I don't understand. Are people saying you need to do something to stop the collapse of the societal order? I thought you didn't like this society. I thought you didn't like clown world. It's one or the other. You know, it's coming apart. Yes, they're lashing out. They're lashing out on the world stage and they're lashing out at home. And that's honestly probably going to get worse. I hope y'all are spiritually prepared for that because that's what's going to hold you through it. They're lashing out on the world stage. They're lashing out at home. They're going to lash out more. Are these the actions of people that feel like we've got this made? Yeah, really. You look at the way this, look at the way this outfit is run. Are they acting like they've got this in the bag, that everything's going according to plan? Because they seem pretty frantic to me. They seem like they kind of like, you know, people, and they have like a plan. But then when the plan starts falling apart, they start running around, like, instead of trying to figure out a new plan, they wind up all over the place trying to salvage a plan that's already failed. That's what this comes across to me as. And I, you know, the whole thing is going to collapse. What do you want us to stop? Somebody do something and stop the collapse? Why would you want that? The collapse is what enables all of this other nonsense. Wake people up, waking people up. And we're going to get into this a little bit. I'm not, you know, we're probably going to get into this in the Christian specific segment, but people's growth happens when they suffer. Yeah. I mean, it does. I slightly referenced in the Bible when you read all of these stories, and people don't understand the relevance of that, because you understand the cycles that human behavior goes through. When times are really prosperous, people get more and more degenerate. You know, then they get in hard times, and then all of a sudden they're looking for God. Then all of a sudden they're looking, you know, to get back in line. And then when things get turned around, then everybody, you know, oh, okay. And then a generation or so goes by and things are peaceful and prosperous, and people get more and more degenerate. It just goes on and on. It's like an old saying, some people just can't stand the prosperity. You know, people like that. You probably know people like that in your personal life, that they just couldn't stand the prosperity. Like, you know, they will, when things are going good in their personal lives, they will start doing shit to sabotage that. They will sabotage their own lives. It's like they just can't stand it if things are going well. They got to have things going bad. Unfortunately, that's kind of how human nature will often winds up working in general. Anyway, I'm looking at time. We got to get into a Christian specific segment. Again, hope you all stay with us for the second half of the show for the Christian specific segment. Again, if you're a new listener and you're not really that's your thing, invite you to at least listen once. I think you'll get more out of it than you think you will, but that's up to you, because it is Christian specific. It is targeting people that are already Christian believers. I ain't running around trying to change your mind, but regardless of the fact, we're going to go ahead and get on into that. So as I say every week, you know what to do, get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. I was reminded of something recently that I haven't really given much thought to in a while, and I don't know how prevalent it still is. It's not like I sit around and really necessarily follow these guys or whatever, but that is this idea of what they call this prosperity gospel, and you're probably familiar with it. It's yet another facet of the MCC. The prosperity gospel basically says that, you know, and it just so happens to work out that the more money you give to the preacher, usually either on TV or in a giant mega church or on both, and the more money you give him, the more God is going to give you. You see, it's an investment. It's like a return on an investment. Now, before I get off into that too much, I start thinking about these things and they percolate around in my mind. And, you know, I was thinking it's just the same old trap. And a lot of times, because most churches now, at least here in the U.S., most churches now, on whatever level, whatever size they are, from fairly small or modest to the super mega churches that are even on TV, they operate under a business model. And of course, in that, there is a disincentive to tell people what they want to hear. Because see, in America, these people have this in their head. They have that mantra in their head, the customer is always right. So the problem is, when you bring in the congregation, you start treating the congregation as though they are your customers, then they expect, and you will do, that attitude of the customer is always right. You know, otherwise you're going to be like the restaurant. You know, you open a restaurant and people come in there and you got really poor service, they don't come back. So see, these churches operate on the same idea. You get the congregation in there, you want to give them good service. That way they'll keep coming back and they'll keep spending their money there. We're warned of this time and again. I mean, it's amazing, because people say, you know, prophecies, why aren't these prophecies more clear? You know, why don't we understand? And why doesn't God just tell us what's going to happen so we can avoid these things and whatnot, as though free will didn't exist? But I would argue that even if you opened up your Bible and the book of Revelation, for instance, read as a historical manual only for the future, you know, it was very clear cut. This guy named this will come to power and this will happen. I would argue that I don't think it would make any difference. I think people would just go on and do stupid shit. I do. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. Because that's the pattern. That's the pattern of people. I was just reading in the book of Judges the other day, and the story of how the tribe of Benjamin fell out of favor because this fellow was traveling with a servant and his concubine, basically his wife, and they stopped in a city of Benjamin, and they got invited to stay in the house of this old man, and they go in there and stay, and the men of the city round circled about the house, beating on the doors and demanded that the stranger be sent out to them so they could anally rape them, because this was an early version of love is love. The rainbow pride, the rainbow flag city. And the man refused, and they wound up throwing the concubine out, lucky her, and they raped her to death overnight. And you can read the story, not to get off on that. But the thing that stuck out at me is I had to stop for a minute, and I'm like, am I reading the story of Sodom and Gomorrah all over again? Because that's what they did at Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels stayed over and they all circled around. Turn them out here so we can show them what love is love and what a democracy and our values of who we are in the Old Testament really is about. And I thought it amazing because it was like the same story, almost verbatim told again. There were just different characters, patterns. Because the people then, you know, they were closer to the original happening of Sodom and Gomorrah than us. And yet, it apparently just didn't dawn. They just fell into the pattern. You read it through the Old Testament where Israel, you know, they would sin in the eyes of the Lord. And then they'd get in all this trouble. And then they'd all cry out to the Lord and the Lord would save them. They're just over and over. Again, they just keep falling into that pattern. So I think people would just keep doing that. This prosperity preacher thing, you know, you have in the Bible, for instance, in the book of Numbers, we're told of, you know, and you will also see references elsewhere in the Bible, the heir of Balaam. I'm probably not saying it right. It's Balaam, I think. But the heir of Balaam, and, you know, what he got in trouble for. He kept going back. He really wanted God to do what he wanted God to do so that he could get the money, so he could get the notoriety. You know, he kept trying to go back and manipulate God to give him the answer he wanted to hear, because he wanted the money, he wanted the notoriety, he wanted the blessing from the king, so that you know, just it's a monetary thing. We're told in the book of Acts, you know, Simon the sorcerer, he saw that the Holy Spirit was given on by laying of hands of the apostles. And he goes to him and says, here, I've got money. Give me this power too. I want to do it too. Already he's thinking them dollar signs. He's thinking, man, I know what this is about. I can sit here and man, if I can do this, I already know how to do a business with this stuff. I'm going to be raking in the money. So we're warned of that danger. The danger of trying to manipulate God to your own purposes for financial gain. And yet you look at these guys and they're preaching this prosperity gospel, and you know, they have their big huge mega church and they're on the TV. If somebody say, yeah, Dan, you're just jealous. You're just jealous because you ain't got no big mega church. You just got a online congregation, very humble. But I'm not. I'm not jealous, because they have fallen into the error of Balaam. You know, they have fallen into the error of Simon, who thought that he could buy the closeness of God, the power of the Holy Spirit with money, as if God could be paid off. And sadly, many, many churches have fallen into this error, because again, they've reconstructed the whole thing as a business model. And if it's a business model, then the congregation, the members of the church, are the customers. And that there's one thing any American will tell you, it's the customer's always right. You can't preach the word of God and tell the customer that they're always right. We are instructed, no servant is above his master. And we struggle as Christian believers to try to be as Christ-like as possible. And everything that goes, we look at the apostles and the things that they did when they were doing things correctly, which they didn't always do. But we look at the way they did things when they were doing things correctly. We try to mimic that as much as we can. We try to mimic Jesus himself as much as we can. We see that as the standard, and we try to bring ourselves up to that standard as much as we possibly can, understanding we're obviously not going to be able to do it exactly right. But in understanding that, we look again, and I know I've talked about this several times before, but one of the things I always find amazing is, like, if Jesus was wanting to create a megachurch, he went about the exact opposite. Of course, he wound up with the ultimate megachurch, with the entire religion of Christianity. But at the time, and this is where people didn't understand what he was doing. They were like, what are you doing? If you want to gain notoriety and get a big following, you got to do things this other way. But he did things the opposite. If you didn't know anybody, if you didn't have the benefit of hindsight, and if you were around at the time and you're watching this Jesus fellow, the way he goes about doing things, you'd be like, this guy ain't going nowhere. This guy is just going to be a flash in the pan. There ain't nothing about this guy special. He don't even know what he's doing. He's trying to get a following and a notoriety and build up something. I don't know. And he ain't doing it right. He's got to learn the customer's always right. And he's coming. We're supposed to be as Christ-like as we can. But you look at the way it worked with Jesus. Yeah, he'd go out there and do miracles and say things that the people had never heard, and they were all excited, and he'd get thousands of people following. And then, like, the next day, he'd come out and tell them they didn't want it, something they didn't want to hear, and they all left. You're not going to see any of these megachurch guys, any of these prosperity preachers. They're not going to come out and tell their congregation something. Then the next day, they come out to their, the next Sunday, they come out to their megachurch and it's empty because they told them something that was a truth they didn't want to hear. It was a hard doctrine. Now, I was going to say best case scenario, but I guess you would say the lesser of several evils scenario. I mean, the worst thing that happens is they come out and just basically do a motivational speech. They basically will go up there and they'll tell everybody, and this is the most common thing, they'll go up there and then spend all their time telling the congregation how wonderful they are, how God loves them just the way they are. They don't need to work on anything or improving anything in their lives. They just need to keep on, we're going to take a break here and listen to some rock and roll music, and we got smoke show going and flashing laser lights. And then we'll come back and I'll tell you one more time about how much Jesus loves you. And you don't need to worry about anything. And after it's all done, they haven't told them anything. They didn't leave there. I mean, they left there possibly entertained if the music was good. But they didn't leave there any further spiritually fulfilled than when they walked in the door. It was just junk food for the soul. It was goy slop for the soul. It was just nothing. It was nothing. It was just filler. Just filler. Now you're working on filling that offering plate. But then on the other hand, you've got a worser case scenario where they're teaching absolute false doctrines. We see this. They go along with the world. They want to be popular with the world. They might bring in more customers. And then you have the prosperity preachers. They go even a step further with that just out and outright false doctrine. In fact, they're telling people the opposite. And this is so bad because if they're telling people the opposite, we're going to get into this. But they're telling people things that are going to crush their faith. You've got people that are there for whatever reason, and whatever percentage of their congregation is there because they really want to get to know God more. They're really having a spiritual longing, and they're trying to find some kind of meaning in all of this, and they get gibberish instead. It's prosperity preaching. They basically. Like I say, they with the prosperity gospel, what they call prosperity gospel, prosperity preachers, however you want to put it. I mean, again, their whole thing is They say, God wants you to have all the desires of your heart. The Lord wants you to, and I've seen these guys before. And they will literally say, God wants you to have that new house. God wants you to have that new car. God, Jesus, wants you to have a prettier wife. Well, they may not say that last one, but they're going to say, I have literally seen them. God wants you to have that new house that you've always wanted. God is not Santa Claus. We're coming up on Christmas. God is not Santa Claus. This is just such a false doctrine, and it leads people in the wrong direction, because if you say that God wants you to have these, according to, of course, what they say with that, well, how do I get that then, preacher? You know, you say God wants me to have all the desires of my heart, and we're going to bear down on this here in just a minute. God, you say God wants me to have all the desires of my heart, and I ain't got them yet. Here's the cinch. Well, see, you're not doing it right. What do you mean? Well, see, whatever you give to me, God's going to give you 10 times that. God's going to give you 10 times. So see, if you give me $1,000, if you take all of your savings and you give me $1,000, you know what God's going to turn that into? You can do the math at a zero. That's right. God's going to turn that $1,000 into $10,000. And if they do it and come back and say, preacher man, I gave you the $1,000. That was a year and a half ago. That was a year and a half ago. So far, I'm just $1,000 down. Nothing's happened. Well, you ain't given enough. You see, you're holding out. You're holding out on the Lord. Gotta give me more. You want a new house. You want that dream house in that neighborhood or whatever that you always wanted. A house costs more than $10,000. You ain't gave enough to the Lord. He's just putting that back. It's like God is running Social Security here in the U.S. Don't worry, the money's there somewhere. They're just putting it back like an IOU. You gotta put more back. See, you ain't given enough. You need to scrape up another $10,000. You know, houses are expensive. You gonna figure it up? That house, that dream house you want, is $200,000. So until you get somewhere in the ballpark of $20,000 that you've given to me, just so happens to work out for me. How do you expect God to give you that new house, that house you're dreaming of? See, it's the same pattern. It's the same pattern. Give me the power to the spirit. Here, I got some money. As if God's for sale. Now, if that person is sincerely, you know, aside from just being hung up on wanting a dream house, if that person sincerely wants to know God, at some point in time, his faith's going to go out the window. He's going to realize this is, I'm being scammed. You know, if it's an older person, their kids or grandkids or adult kids or grandkids are going to come to him and be like, well, what are you doing, grandpa? You're giving this guy all your money. Well, I want to buy you kids a new house. And if I give this to this guy, God is going to make it 10 times. This is the way the scripture gets twisted. Multiplication. What does that mean? You know, yes, if you're a blessing to those who are doing the work of God, you know, God will bless you multiple times. It doesn't have to be the number 10. He will bless you multiple times, sometimes a little bit in this life, but understand most of the things in the Bible like this are talking about in the life to come. The apostles suffered unto death. You know, they weren't getting much reward in this life. They dang sure weren't getting their dream house, but they were working towards the reward in the realm of God. I want to buy you grandkids. I want to buy y'all a new house. Grandpa, you're being scammed. This is a scam. It's just a money scam. If that person is honestly trying to find the Lord, when it dawns on them, they've just been scammed. And it's all it is. Let's call it what it is. It's a scam. Then they're just going to say, well, throw their hands up and say, well, I guess that's what this is all about. They just want money in the play. It was just they got my money. What are you going to do? Can't take legal action against them. Got all the scammers and con men. A lot of them get away with it for the simple fact that the victims, they're too embarrassed. They're too embarrassed to press charges. You know, it's con. plain and simple. And that person's faith or longing is going to be crushed. And it could cost them their very soul because they give up on trying to know the Lord. They abandon their faith. They figure it all must be a scam. And they, whatever reward that person got, he got $5,000 out of scamming this person times whatever in the congregation. But all of those souls that might have been saved, that's going on their bill. And it's a serious deal. This idea that God wants you to have all the desires of your heart. God wants you to have all the desires of your heart. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God, you know, because you have these people. And I've mentioned this before. But you have these people. And like their idea of righteousness is the more miserable you are in life, the better off you better. You probably are. You know, the more righteous a person you are, the worse off you, you know, the more like, I don't know, like face down, solemn, and you're not happy. And you know, that means I'm a good person. You see, like the rest of these people. It's not that God wants you to be miserable. And it's not that God isn't going to bless you with things and doesn't want you to have nice things in your life. You know, I don't think God wants you to be miserable. I don't think any parent wants that. But the fact of the matter is your growth happens, you know, when you're struggling and you're suffering. That's when you grow. If you're younger, you might not understand this yet. Trust me, I'm getting old. I'm still like holding on this idea that I ain't that old, you know. But I'm not, I accept it. Once again, I'm at this, it's a Gen X fatalistic thing, perhaps. I don't know. But yeah, the older you get, and you will be able to look back on your life, especially your spiritual life, your character development, you get your character, you and your character development arcs come when you're struggling. It's the same for societies. I talked earlier. You go through the Old Testament and the cycles with the Israelites, and you know when things got really really good, they got more and more degenerate. They did. They started doing more and more outlandish, degenerate BS, just like what you see here, by the way, now in Clown World. And then disaster would fall upon them. Then all of a sudden the hard times come around. All of a sudden the people are suffering. And then they cry out to the Lord. Then they get character development. Then the cycle goes around and peace is restored to the land and everything's good. And then that generation passes away and the next generation or the generation after that, they know nothing but peace and prosperity. And they what? Get more and more degenerate. Get further and further from the Lord. Whether it's on the grand scale of a nation of people or in your personal life, trust me, that's the way it will work for you. I mean, you can try to guard against it, and the more maturity and spiritual growth you get, the easier that becomes. But the cycle you will find yourself in is when you're struggling and you're suffering and things are not going well, you're crying out to God and you're trying to, you got your Bible out and you're trying to find an answer. This thing's an instruction manual. I'm going to find the answer in here. And you're trying to get closer to God and trying to figure it out and trying to learn and whatever, and you get your growth. But then when those hard times are gone and now things are good and rocking along smoothly, the Bible gets dust in the corner. You ain't got time for any of that God nonsense and you going on. And the further you get away from seeking the Lord, you're going to go into more and more things that you know you shouldn't be getting into. Surrounded by them in the world every day. And you start wondering, getting a little more and more into those things. God wants you to have all the desires of your heart. It's a lie. I mean, again, he doesn't want to deprive you. And I'm not saying God wants you to be miserable and he just wants you to do nothing but suffer. I really believe a lot of the things we go through in life, you know, it's all about your spiritual growth. This is the whole point of this life. And again, you come to realize that all the different things you experience in your life help you to gain a perspective of where God is coming from. If you're a parent, if you are a parent, if you have children, you have a greater understanding of God's point of view than somebody who doesn't. You know, because you get a certain amount of that. Your kids, you go to the store and your kids are throwing a wall-eyed fit because they want every toy on the toy shelf. That's what their heart desires. But you tell them, no, you're not getting every toy on the damn toy shelf. Was it because you don't love your kids? No, because you do love them. And you realize that as part of their character development, they need to learn they can't have everything their heart desires. Do you love your kids more than God loves you? And yet you get this idea, people get this idea, if God doesn't give them everything their heart desires, must mean God doesn't love them. And then you have these assholes, and I said it, these assholes who come out here and tell people, God wants you to have all the desires of your heart. Now put money, give me money. And they just reinforce that instead of promoting understanding and helping people to get it. Instead, they reinforce this false notion. And as that doesn't come about, then guess what? People get more and more discouraged. I talk about you being a parent, you see people, whether you're a parent or not, you see people with kids, and you see those people that do give their kids basically everything their heart desires. And what? They're brats, aren't they? They are the worst. They're the worst. And people roll up, you know, like if you give that kid a toy, they're like, oh, okay, thank you. And they go over there and throw it in the pile with the rest of their toys. They don't even look at it. Even though they were throwing a fit for it a minute ago, once you give it to them, they throw it in the corner and move on to the next thing because their heart never ceases to desire more. And it's no different from those children to adults, grown-ass people. The same thing. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. The parent give them everything. I want this doll. I want this doll. I want this toy truck. I want this dinosaur. Whatever the hell they think they want. And you just, okay, here. And it gets to the point, they're so used to getting everything they want, they just throw it in the corner, move on to the next thing. Well, I don't want that now. Now I want a car. Now I want this toy car. I want this. I want this. I want that. And we appreciate it because it just makes it worse. It's the same thing for grown people. Again, God gives us these different experiences in life so that we come to understand Him more. We come closer to understanding His perspective. Do you give your kids everything their heart desires? Well, of course not. They'd be brats and they wouldn't appreciate anything. Does that mean you never give your kids anything and you want them to be miserable and just live like little pauper children and, grubbing around in the dirt? Well, of course not. There's a certain amount of balance there. But when they throw in a fit, you ain't going to give them nothing. That's the same thing. And you got these people. They come out. It's a false doctrine. God wants you to have everything your heart desires. That's a lie. If somebody's told you that and you believed that in the past, and this is one of the things that's caused your faith to crumble, well, I'm sorry. Those people lied to you. Okay? They just wanted your money. When the catch to some line like this, they give you this really attractive bait, God wants you to have that dream job. God wants you to have that dream house. God wants you to have that dream wife. God wants you to have that dream car. And you're like, man, that sounds really good, preacher. What do I got to do to get it? And here comes the hook. You got to give me money. Sitting on the outside, looking at it, just seems silly and we can laugh about it. But understand, for people that are desperate, it's they're looking for anything to grab hold to. And these assholes know that. And that's why they do it. Because somebody who is desperate enough, somebody who's lonely enough when they get the email they get on the dating site and they get the obviously Nigerian scammer telling them, I really love you. I just need you to send $2,000 so I can fly to meet you and we'll be together forever. They're so lonely, they're going to grab onto any thread. People that are so desperate. People don't have anything and never had nothing. They want to have something. And the preacher says, well, you just give me what little you got and you'll get more. They're willing to grab on to anything. It's one of the scams of the worst kind. Somebody's really rich gets scammed, You don't feel too bad because they still got plenty of money. But you see a poor person or a desperate person or somebody that doesn't have a whole lot, and they get scammed out of what little they got. That brings you the greatest. Those people that do that, they deserve your greatest contempt. God's going to bless you. You're going to get some toys at Christmas. You're going to get some toys on your birthday. You know, God's going to bless you in your lifetime. You're going to have things and experiences. But he ain't going to give you all the desires of your heart, because that's a never-ending thing. And what he truly desires is for you to spiritually mature so you get closer to him. You are the most prepared as possible when you leave this time realm that we live in right now. You're the most prepared you can be for the next realm where time doesn't exist. And when you enter the eternal realm, you're the most prepared that you can be. That's what he truly wants. He wants you to be as close to him as possible. And as believers, really, that is supposed to be the ultimate desire of our heart. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of it. I hope all of you have a Merry Christmas. We got Christmas coming up. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. I hope you get the chance to get together with family. Enjoy the times. If you have kids and they're little kids, you know, if you've got little kids right now, you know, it kind of seems like a hassle. You got to put this tree up and these decorations and you're doing these presents, you know, and all of this, you know, enjoy it while you can. They're going to be grown before you know it. You might not do things you don't feel like doing because you're going to miss those things. And it's just a blink of an eye and it's passed. Get that opportunity. If you get the opportunity to get together with family, you know, with the elders in your family, maybe Christmas is like the one time of the year you go and see your grandparents or whatever. And, you know, maybe it's kind of a long drive and you're like, you know, I really don't want to make that drive. It's a pain. And I don't really do it. Do it. You know, next year they may not be here and you'll regret that. It's all gone in a blink of an eye. Your kids are no longer little kids excited and running in there at Christmas morning. You blink an eye and they're teenagers, don't care about that, or they're grown people and they're going on, they got kids of their own, whatever. It'll be gone. You get this opportunity now. Those old people, you get a chance to see the elders in your family. Do it if you can. You know, do it if you can, because I'm just telling you, in just a very short time, they're going to be gone. Then you can't go see them if you want to, you know, and you look back and you say, why didn't I just, you know, so I had to drive for a while. You know, that time was going by regardless. You know, what did I do with that time I saved by not driving? Oh, well, I sat around and watched the football game or some crap. Can't get it back. So I do. I hope you have not trying to be a downer. I really do hope y'all have a great Christmas. Remember, as Christian believers, why we celebrate Christmas. Keep that in your mind. You know, don't get all discouraged and black pill because of all the materialism around it and the way they've tried to twist it into being something else. Remember it is what it is, you know, for what it is. Remember it for what it is. I'll get it spit out here in a minute. Enjoy the time, the opportunities to be with family. And to, like I say, to get together, enjoy fellowship and whatnot. I hope you have a great Christmas, and we'll see you next time right here for the Parish of the Patriots.